Books of the Bible. The Book of Psalms is a collection of divinely inspired songs of praise for every season in life. There are songs of lament, thanksgiving, praise, celebration, and remembrance of God's mighty deeds. All to help us find our soul's delight in God in all circumstances. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Here we go. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, you brought up a subject that, I'm happy to engage on this one, about worship leaders.
Yes.
You like it when?
Well, I like a worship leader who will, I won't say teach, but will give you the history of the hymn. And if it's pertinent, you know, I don't want him to be long-winded or whatever.
Why not?
Well, because that's...
If it's a regulated element, why doesn't he take up 30 minutes explaining Horatio Spafford's "It Is Well With My Soul"?
Yeah, I don't want all of that. But one that'll say, you know, that talks and is well-rounded. But I will also say that I prefer a worship guy that's also an elder in the church, so is qualified to do that.
Okay, but specifically the issue, though, of the introduction of the hymn. Horatio Spafford, he was a Chicago businessman going over to Europe. Mm-hmm. Sends the wife and kids ahead. They all die. They drown in the middle of the ocean. He's going over in the boat in about the same place. He writes, "It is well with my soul." And then we begin singing. Which Bible verse indicates that is a regulated element
of
the worship?
There's not one, but I mean, I'm a radio guy. I like history and music. So.
I do too. I love that stuff. But here's why. I don't think it's a sin. I'm not a fan of it. I don't think that I was willing to go that far. But I'm not a fan of it because it takes the spotlight off of the Lord onto a man or woman who wrote something great that we appreciate. And I shouldn't appreciate God more or the hymn more, or certainly the hymn writer more, because I know the backstory. It should be the lyrics that direct my attention to the Lord. And I just personally think that's a distraction from that, and it isn't a regulated element. This just food for thought for you. This is just a decision that we made at Alpharetta Bible Church. Every church is distinct, and I don't think that we should be getting into a ruckus over some of these things. What we decided to do was take all of the regulated elements and present those without any sort of interference or any sort of additions. Just present them. Now, for instance, let's just say last week we read the great story about Nahum. It's one of my favorite stories from the Old Testament. He was a captain of the guard in Aram up in Syria, and he had leprosy. And you want to talk about God's providence? You want to talk about God using very bad things for extremely good eternal results? Well, here's an example. Naaman is up north. He's the captain of the guard. He's a big deal. He has leprosy. He has a servant girl who was kidnapped from Israel and brought up there. Okay, there's a tragedy. She says, you know, there's a guy in Israel who could heal you. So he packs up all of his stuff. And it mentions changes of clothing, and he goes to the king. The king thinks, hey, this is some sort of conspiracy. So he gets directed to Elisha. And so Elisha does not come out of the house when the hotshot arrives, who stays on his horse, sends the servants to, boss man is out here, need to heal him. And Elisha said, you tell him to go down to the river, dip himself in the water 7 times. That's what he needs to do. And he was furious. Why? His claim was that there are better rivers where I come from. Why would I go into that dirty Jordan River? And his servant said, I'm paraphrasing, get off your high horse. Do what you're told. He went down into the river, dipped, and he came up. His skin was like that of a child's because he was humble. He humbled himself. That's the moral of that story. But don't we see two instances of God's wonderful providence in very difficult circumstances? The Jewish girl who was kidnapped this led a man to salvation. That's wow. Second, do you think that this fellow, Naaman, captain of the guard, if he could look back and say, all right, here's the option. I have skin disease, and because of that, I have eternal life. Or I'd go back, have no skin disease, and forfeit eternal life. There is not a chance he would give up eternity with his Savior. Not a chance. And so we see in that story, look at God working inside of these people. So we're going to read that on Sunday morning. Did we do the setup for it to explain the text? Yes, but I would also say that is biblical. That's Ezra. Nehemiah explaining the text. That's explaining the hymn. I wouldn't call it a sin. I just think that it isn't regulated, and it does. It points us away from what we're supposed to be doing. So the challenge would be this: think of the regulated elements, and then ask: is there anything that we're doing in this service that kind of moves away from that? You're going to think this is nutty. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones wouldn't, but you're going to think this is nutty. When I go up to preach on Sunday, I'm telling you, my heart, and I do it, and I there's a part of me that feels bad about it. You're going to laugh. I say good morning. And I feel kind of like, oh, should I have said that? Because, well, good morning. What are you doing? We're not greeting each other. We're in worship together. And this is an element that I get to participate in. Do that. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, none of those greetings, no chit-chat. Hey, everybody, it's great to be with you. What a love. Hey, aren't you glad we're through pollen season? All of that stuff gone. I even struggle with good morning. It's just that it just seems so natural. Examine your church service. The stuff that goes on in between, is it necessary? Does it detract? Does it rob? And is it regulated? Well, did I persuade you otherwise?
Basically, you're saying I'm not saved.
Pretty much. 877-282-337.
All right, this is from Ben.
Oh, yeah, Ben.
He says, Todd, how do you advise a single man who desires a family, but is pursuing a woman for marriage who is outside of fertility years?
Yeah.
How would you advise him?
Well, there's so many details that are kind of, so basically, is he the younger man?
Yeah, so basically, Ben, I think the way I gathered from the entire email was that he has a friend who does desire a family, but yeah, he is pursuing a woman who is much older and outside of that. And so he's...
Okay, the fertility thing, personally, I would not see a problem with it to marry a woman or a man. Fertility goes both ways here. That isn't able to make babies. You just need to know that, be aware of that, and fully accept that. Because being fertile is not what makes a good spouse a good spouse. Can't find that Bible verse even in Proverbs 31. Now, the age thing is a little different. Again, I can't find a Bible verse that says if you're 20 and you're dating somebody who's what, 32, 35, 37, 44, that it's a sin. I can't find that, but I do believe we can employ some wisdom. And there's enough history of couples. Now, there are plenty of people who had a wide variance in ages that made it work. It's true. But you need to understand, it is not a sin to marry somebody who is substantially older or younger than you, but you do need to be aware it will bring in some unique challenges, in addition to all of the other challenges that every single married couple goes through. You're going to be dealing with money. You're going to be dealing with habits. You're going to be dealing with customs. You're going to be dealing with spiritual issues. And age discrepancy. You say, but we get along really great. Please note that that might be, and I would not call it a sin to pursue that, but you do need to know that during courting, dating, that ain't marriage. Second of all, as the years change, the age discrepancy, the differences become more stark. It can sometimes work when, you know, for instance, there's a 10-year discrepancy. And that works okay because of what the two ages are. But what about when one is 65 and now one is 75? It's just a dynamic that you need to be aware of that will bring about some challenges. There will also be some maturity issues. I'm sorry, if we believe that with gray hair comes wisdom, that means this progression in gaining wisdom is a lifelong endeavor. That if somebody is 10 years older, they're 10 years smarter. They've done 10 years of adulting that you haven't done. They're going to be wiser. They're going to be more mature. And it's going to be felt. Furthermore, activities, preferences, how much exercising you do or don't do, how you do vacations. I want to go climb that mountain. Kind of want to just sit in a chair and chill. You're just gonna discover that those age differences will bring about some things that will just add to the stress of a regular marriage. Now, having said all of that, does that mean that you can't pursue it? No, but I would engage others. And if you've got a chorus of voices of godly people going, it's going to be so hard, and I know it's all heady right now. I would be willing to suggest you should probably heed their advice. This is Wretched Radio. Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family, and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. As you know, we're living in a time where the foundations of our society are crumbling. Truth is being exchanged for lies, but we at Gospel Partners Media refuse to sit back and watch it happen. That's why we're building a Christian version of the Daily Wire. And we're not just talking about it, we're doing it. We're bringing in 8 new powerful voices to invade Christian media with the truth of God's Word. But here's the thing, we need your help in order to make this happen. We're currently in the middle of a $250,000 match campaign, which means every dollar you're able to give will be doubled. And look, we all know times are tough, money is tight, but this is much more than just another donation. It's about investing in the future of our faith, our families, and our world. So if you're currently in a place right now in your life that you can give to this initiative, we would greatly appreciate the partnership. You can find out more right now at wretched.org/fellows. That's wretched.org/fellows. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Record number of children are attending the Tomorrow Clubs in Africa. You should see the videos. Hundreds of kids run to meet at a Tomorrow Club in Africa. Why? Because Tomorrow Clubs, they're weekly kids meeting clubs where the kids, yep, they get some treats, but they get the gospel. They get the Bible. They get Bible memorization. Remember, we used to force our kids to do that, but now that we're oppressors, we don't want to be toxic and make our kids memorize Bible verses when it's about a gazillion times easier than when you get old. And they worship the Lord, they pray together, and they get loved on. Tomorrow Clubs, I'm telling you, record-breaking. The images are so encouraging, so cool, and I would encourage you to consider being a Tomorrow Club partner. $1 per child per month. Encourage you to please consider supporting the great ministry, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
An apostle is a messenger sent from God. The apostles were granted power and authority to establish the New Testament church. There are no apostles living today. But just as the early church dedicated themselves to the apostles' teachings, so we dedicate ourselves to their teachings, which have been recorded in the New Testament. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We're circling back to the hymn singing explanation sin.
No.
Or to the age discrepancies. This is Wretched Radio. What? You said, well, we're coming back to that one. Which one?
Well, Ben's question about the marrying the older woman.
Yeah.
So his question necessarily wasn't about that.
Oh.
So he has a friend who desires a family. His friend does want children.
Uh-huh.
But the woman he's pursuing.
Well, you didn't tell me any of that.
I thought I did. So the woman he's pursuing.
Yeah, you thought you did, but you want explanations for hymns in church. So how am I supposed to believe you have any credibility whatsoever?
I got lesions. All right. So the woman he is pursuing for marriage can have children, but Ben knows that his friend wants children. So he's wanting to know how is he supposed to talk to him, because he doesn't think it is a good idea.
Well, they might be having conversations about other means of having children, like adoption. And if that fellow is like, ooh, yeah, okay, so we're not going to have bio children. We're going to adopt children. I don't think that's the issue. Again, let's separate the age and the fertility issue, because I think they're two distinct things. The fertility issue is it's not wrong if you marry somebody who isn't fertile. But if you know that in advance, well, that's going to play into your decision making. If it's like, no, I gotta have bio children. I've always longed for that. And your spouse, male or female, can't. Well, then you just need to weigh that, and you need to bring in wisdom, because your heart is going to be ripped and torn and all over the place. Bring in wisdom for those types of decision. And if this particular fellow is like, hey, adoption, rock on, that's cool, then I say, not a problem. If that guy must have bio children and she can't, well, that desire, a perfectly fine desire, is going to be stymied. And that will bring an awful lot of into your marriage. That's a big deal. Look, there are certain things that are just so massive that they will be a lifelong struggle. Having children is one of them. That is one of those boxes that you need to check. You need to be on the same page. You're dating somebody and they're like, hey, I want to beat the Duggars. And you're like, I was thinking like maybe none or one or two. Get that sorted. That will be nothing but division in your, it will not bring you together. It will be a perpetual pulling in the opposite direction of one another. And that, I think you need to get that sorted before you say I do. Now, are we happy?
We are.
All right, now let's get back to this hymn business. Did I persuade you?
Yes.
You did. You don't patronize me.
Well, let's move on.
Alrighty.
This is from Hans. This is a good question. I think we don't think a lot about, but I think there's something to it. He's wondering, Todd, we recently had a prospective pastor visit our church. He's a bit of a larger guy. Is that a legitimate thing to mention?
Gotta know how much bitter of a larger guy we're talking about.
He used the word obese.
Oh, well, I don't even know what that means for sure these days. And I don't know what the guides are, what have you. All right, the weight issue is one that needs to be dealt with thoughtfully, not because of the world pressure. I think there, you know, is it called fat shaming?
Mm.
Okay. Well, the reality is the Bible speaks about the subject. And the Bible does have a word to speak about the subject of gluttony. Does the Bible speak about body mass index? Not directly. I think it's a reasonable application that we should be doing our best to take care of these temples. Our bodies are amazing. I was reading in a Mike Abendroth book two nights ago about blood. You know, you've got like 1.3 gallons of blood in your body, and it's going to, like, if for all of the pumping that your heart does, all the blood that gets pumped, it takes 45 seconds for a drop of blood to make its way from heart all the way through the system and then back again. And all of that pumping, I think some mathematician came up with, that's akin to like 17 Grand Canyons full of blood that your heart, whoa, that's a wow, amazing. And how many times your heart beats, like over a billion times? What other man-made sort of device do we have that can do something a billion times? and perform in sustaining something so complex. The body is amazing. And with that, we should be taking care of it. Now, the amount of time, this is all discretionary. How much you dedicate to it, it can become an obsession and an idol, but you don't want to be neglecting it either. What that looks like for each individual is a different thing. So I do believe that there needs to be some consideration about the way that we present ourselves in light of how we take care of the temple. But I think that there's a second consideration, and that is the issue of gluttony. Is the reason for the obesity because of overindulgence? And it's a sin where it is a sin issue. Now, there are some people who are just bigger and it's not a sin. They don't eat in a gluttonous fashion. Food is not an idol. They have control over it, but they're just big. That's why they're just genetically bigger. We need to be mindful of that. But if somebody is overweight, obesely, because of gluttony, that would be an issue like any other sin that you discovered before calling a pastor that would need to be addressed. But I think that there's a third issue, and that is testimony. What does the world think about when they see a pastor who is, I'll just use the words from the emailer, obese? It's a testimony, speaks, says something. What does it say to the congregation? Now, you could respond and say, well, it shouldn't say anything because they don't know what's going on. And the guy, it could be because he's having to take some sort of medicine for a health issue and a steroid, and it causes him to be. I grant you that it's true. But nevertheless, it still needs to be considered. What is the testimony? What does it say to the people of the body and the people outside of the body? How do you render a verdict? Thoughtfully, carefully, prayerfully, lovingly, trying your best to sort through these issues, but sort through them. I think that is entirely valid. You agree?
I do. I think it, I agree with exactly what you said. I think you, I know you're crying because I agree with you.
We agree at all. It's amazing.
Yeah, I think it does say something about testimony. It says something too about if it is gluttonous, it says something about the ability to lead and discipline.
Sure. Of course, yeah, it does. It speaks a word. There's no question about it. But let's remember, though, just for yucks, so that we remember the testimony issue, this runs both ways. What about Pastor Steroid? What about Pastor Pumped Up?
Mm-hmm.
The dude who's like ripped, that's a testimony too. Sorry, that speaks loudly. I hear that shout, look at me! Look at me! Or it's screaming, I'm fighting death. Or I idolize youth, and so I need to look like I'm totally pumped up. All that speaks a word too.
Mm-hmm.
So a pastor, all of us, it's not just the pastor, it's all of us. We need to be mindful about our testimonies, which is why in Wretched Worldview 1 and 2, that is one of the criteria that we have for determining a biblical worldview. That is something that can feel a little nebulous, but it nevertheless is important. If I do this, what does it say? What does it communicate? Because everything does. It either speaks a good word about our Savior or a bad one, and it is never a bad idea to sort through it. 877-282-2337.
Hey, Todd.
Hey, oh, here it comes.
You thought we were going to get out. Did you know what? You know what kind of lights were on the ark? You know they had electricity back then.
Okay, hold on. Just hold on. What kind of lights were on the? I don't know, Jimmy. What kind of lights were on the ark?
Floodlights.
Now you have two things to repent for. 877-282-2337.
Okay, this is from Z. He texted in and asked, what does the phrase, I think he's talking about me because I say this a lot. What does the phrase, we covet your prayers, really mean?
It means I'd like you to pray for me. Mm-hmm. That would be really great. I love that. I don't hate that phrase.
Right.
It'd probably become a little bit cliche. And I also, don't say you're gonna if you're not. Don't say, oh, hey, absolutely. In fact, I might even suggest do it now. Do it on the spot. You know what? Forget that. Let's just pray right now. Or wait, you know what? I'm going to go to a place where it doesn't look dorky, and I'm going to do that praying for you right now. And speaking of prayer, was reading this Mike Abendroth book, which I'll share with you more later because it's a keeper. And he was talking about what you might be, if you're sick and people come to visit you and those conversations can feel like, oof, they're just, you know, there's that thing in the air and what do we say? Here's something that you can say. Now, you can also say this if you're the visitor. Can I pray for you? Or would you pray for me? Or you could say, if you're struggling and some of the side effects of your medication are causing you to be fatigued, would you read the Bible for me? What excellent advice that is. And that gives you something literally to do. Furthermore, if you're the sick person, don't forget ministering can go both ways. You can be ministered to and still minister even when you're struggling. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.